Welcome to the Fire Church Podcast. Today we pray Holy Spirit will speak through this message and into your life right where you are.
Well, good morning, Fire Church. It's pretty cool to be with you. You can hear me okay? That's good. Thank you, Pastor Alex, for your introduction. I don't know about you, but I'd like to pray. I'd like to pray up here first. Father, I thank you for the opportunity I have here today to speak to your people. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll touch hearts and lives here today. We pray, Lord, that you and you alone are glorified in everything that's said and done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I'm not a pastor, okay? I'm not on staff at a church anywhere. I'm not an itinerant speaker either, although I've spoken all over the world for a long time. I don't do that for a living. So who am I? I'm you. I'm just one of you guys. In fact, I'd probably rather be sitting in that seat just there than standing up here in front of you. You know, I'm a businessman, but a long time ago now, I found out who I am and I found my purpose. And so that's why I'm here today, because I just know too much and it'd be wrong of me to hold it back. And so I'm here to talk with you today. So I hope you're going to take some notes, because I think today will be a very practical message for you. And if you're looking for a title, my title is Who Wants to Be a True Disciple? Who Wants to Be a True Disciple? Okay, just a little bit of about myself. I've been married for 39 years to the same woman, Susan. We now have three adult married kids, four grandchildren, another one on the way. So yes, I'm a pop. I love being a pop. It's better than being a father, I can tell you. You get to hand them back. I'm actually the son of a Pentecostal pastor who was also the son of a Pentecostal pastor, which is the real reason why I'm not a pastor. So, you know, what we experienced today in praise and worship, I've been in that my whole life. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. But about 12 years ago, I started traveling around the globe. And I probably spent 75% of my time somewhere in the world. And COVID stopped that, of course. But I was doing that to help churches to raise up what I call kingdom builders, who saw that part of their purpose in life was to finance the kingdom of God. And during that time of COVID, when I was stuck on the ground, I did write a book called Kingdom Builders with the subtitle How to Live an All-In Life That Turns Vision into Reality. I love that the name of your All-In meeting on Thursday is that All-In Life. It's in seven different languages now. I never thought that a plumber would write a book that would go in seven different languages around the world. Trust me, I'm not here to sell my book. I don't need to sell my book. But that's how come I'm here. Because Big Zane here, he read my book and he contacted me and pestered me enough. And then I said, you better let your pastor read the book first. And hence while I'm here. And the book is online, so you can get the book if you want to, but I won't say any more about that. You know, when I used to travel to go to all these churches, I used to share my personal testimony, and it's a long story. But how I, you know, it came about really when I was about 31 years old as a plumber, someone who I relied totally on myself. See, as a son of a pastor, I'd been in church every Sunday of my life. And like your praise and worship then, I was fully surrendered to God every week for 20 minutes. But the rest of the week, I did my own thing. And God turned my life upside down. Maybe some would say right side up. And the real key for me, the whole thing came down to I finally decided to trust God. I'm hoping today that some of you are going to finally decide to trust God and to go all in for Him. And wow, did that change my life. You know, as I said, it's a long story, and I haven't got time to actually tell my whole story here today, because that's not what I want to do here. But previously, when I trusted in Andrew only, I was definitely a workaholic. I worked from 6:30 in the morning till 10:30 at night, 6 days a week, sometimes seven. And I did that for like 10 years straight. And my life was a bit of a mess. There is no doubt about it. And God arrested me about all that. And I took my first faith step. You know, faith is spelled R-I-S-K, don't you? And I'll say, long story short, but I reduced my hours by a third, and yet I made more money. And it freaked me out a bit at first. And I remember, this is back in 1996, so it's a long time ago now. I remember I gave $5,000 that year towards our first building, and it freaked me out, I've got to tell you people. It was the hardest thing I'd ever done in my life, writing that $5,000 check. I'd always been a tither, I knew that was right, but when it came to actually sacrificially giving, taking that step, that first $5,000 was the, even till today, scariest thing I ever did. But within a year, we wrote a $15,000 check. A year after that, an $80,000 check. A year after that, a $240,000 check. You know, now I'm starting to really realize, you know, this trusting God thing works. It really does. And, you know, within 8 years of me deciding to trust God, you know, we wrote a $1 million check. Wow. Yeah. And I can tell you now, was that $1 million scary? Yeah, totally. But no more scary than writing the $5,000. Very much was. It was the same thing. It was the same faith. And obviously, my testimony is long, and that's what the book's for. You can get into that. But so I would go and share my message at these churches all around the world. And at the end of the message, the pastor would ask the congregation if anyone would like to meet with me, maybe as a couple or one-on-one over the next couple of days. And I would literally meet face to face with hundreds of people over the next few days. And so over the years of 12 years of doing this, with no exaggeration, I have sat down with thousands and thousands of people. I take note on every single one I do. I have half an hour with them and I take notes, because invariably I meet them again. Some churches I've been back to six times. And so it was quite an honour to do that, because these people coming to meet me because they had decided to contemplate even deciding to trust God. And the simple answer was they decided they really wanted to make that decision to be true disciples of Jesus. You know, the fact is that when people accept Jesus as their saviour, they are disciples. It's just that some become obedient while others are not. A little quiet in the room. I'm going to say that again. Some become obedient disciples while others are not. See, that was me. First 31 years of my life as a Christian, no doubt. But I definitely wasn't obedient. I definitely wasn't obedient. Sure, I'd been baptized, as I guess many of you have too. You know, growing up a pastor's son, I'd heard every teaching there was in the Bible, over and over and over again. The only problem was that I wasn't obeying those because I lacked trust in God. I lacked trust in God. See, I could believe God's promises for the pastor, the professional Christian, but not for Andrew, the grubby plumber, you know. And what it really was the devil had convinced me that I wasn't good enough. So fear held me back from trusting God. You do know, don't you, that fear and faith are the exact same emotion. You know that. Just one's positive, one's negative. See, fear says, yeah, but what if that happens? And faith says, yeah, but what if that happens? The exact same words, just one's positive and one is negative. And if you have a little bit of fear, just a little bit of fear, you're fearful. But if you have a little bit of faith, you'll be faithful. So in the end, church, we have a choice. We have a choice. I had a choice. I was either going to remain fearful or I was going to be faithful. And you can't be both. You know you can't be both. Because that little bit of fear will drive out the faith. But a little bit of faith will definitely drive out the fear. And so what I did, I started to believe. I started to trust. And more importantly, I started to actually take faith steps. Now, I was always afraid of taking a faith step because in my mind, a faith step, it was more of a giant leap off a 10-story building over a crocodile-filled gorge, and if I didn't make it, I was going to die. So I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. And that was just a lie of the devil. Let me tell you, I was paralyzed, and I mean paralyzed by fear of taking the wrong step. So I didn't take any. Here's something for you to understand and think on. I came to this conclusion. There's no such thing as a wrong step. Now, we don't want to do anything illegal or immoral. Now, you weren't going to do that. And you weren't going to do that. But any step is better than no step. And God's just looking for you to take the step. It's up to us to take the step. God's a gentleman. He's knocking on the door. But it's up to us to take that step. And, you know, God has promised that he will guide our path. But how does God guide our path? See, most Christians, unfortunately, don't hear from God. Why? Because they haven't trained their spiritual eyes and ears yet. That's what I want to talk to you about. See, when you have God to guide your steps, you can do things so much more easier. So much easier. So, I hear you asking, how do I hear from God? I want to talk to you today about Matthew 28, verse 18. Yes. Oh, you like that? I've not had one of those before. That's good. I don't know whether they've got the verse up. They have. Okay, here we go. Let's read this. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority, remember that, all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey, remember that, teach these disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We all know that, don't we? It's the Great Commission that Jesus gave us. I said to you before, I've been in Pentecostal churches my entire life. I'm knocking on 60 today. And the Big C Church, okay, church has been very good at getting people saved, okay, and that's awesome. But what they've been rubbish at is teaching them to be disciples. Yeah. Got a few hand claps. Jesus is pretty clear. He's pretty clear. You know, let's just quickly break down these verses. Point number one. Firstly, he has total authority over everything. Everything. So don't be afraid of the devil. I'll just get that clear. Don't be afraid of the devil. He has been defeated, okay? He really has. Number two, go and make disciples of all nations. I think it's pretty clear, you know, to make a disciple, you need to be one first. Baptism is a real requirement. And so if you haven't been baptized here yet, can I encourage you? Speak with your pastor after service, because I'm sure he'd love to remedy that for you. Four, teach the new disciples to obey all of God's commands. the two key words here are teach and obey. Teach and obey. And number five, again, Jesus reiterates that he is with us always, which is another reminder to not be fearful, but be faithful. I'd like to focus on point four, if I can, because in my travels around the world and sitting with thousands of people, this is where I see the hurdle for people in maturing in their relationship with Jesus. If it's easy for you to think of discipleship as an apprenticeship, that may help you. 44 years ago, I started an apprenticeship as a plumber. And, I had a tradesman who was teaching me, but I had to take responsibility to have an attitude to learn and to keep a teachable heart. I had to attend college regularly. I had to read books. I was the one who had to learn. It wasn't up to my tradesman. It was my decision. Can I tell you, as Christians, we need to have a teachable spirit and an attitude to learn. So in the end, the choices that you personally make, not your pastor, okay? He's off the hook, not your pastor. He can only do so much. What we do is determine how strong our relationship with Jesus is. So when it comes to hearing from God, to guide our steps, there is no better way to hear yourself directly from God than reading his word. Now, I say you need to read his word every day. Did I say every day? Yes, every day. Can I tell you, when I would sit with these couples or individuals who had gone to the trouble of meeting with this big ugly bloke from Australia, they were there because they were hoping to hear something from God. They're hoping to get a word from God. And the first question I would ask them is, do you read your Bibles daily? Can I tell you, it doesn't matter if I was in Brazil, Sweden, England, or Australia. 90% of people I sat with, Christians, want to hear from God, want to be disciples, don't read their Bible at all, let alone every day. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands here this morning, okay? But I can tell you, unfortunately, I know. I've sat with too many people in too many great churches. It'd be the same statistic in this room. 90% of you don't read your Bible. Now, how you read your Bible is important. I don't want you just to pick your Bible up, flick it open, read a verse and say, I'm done. I'm not interested in you reading your Bible for the sake of reading your Bible. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to, on your phone, if you haven't already, download YouVersion and get, it's called, it's easy to remember, the 1 year Bible, okay? The 1 year Bible. I'm going to tell you practically how to do things today. I hope you write this down. Okay, it has a bit of an Old Testament, a bit of New Testament, Proverbs and Psalm. You read the whole Bible in a year and you read Proverbs and Psalms twice in the year. Okay? It's fantastic. So if you read a paper Bible, that's nice. They're romantic. But this one's functional. Why? Because you all have it on you all day. All day. So here's the game changer, okay? I want you to have an expectation that God's going to speak to you today. He's going to speak to you from his word. He's going to give you your verse of the day, not the verse of the day, your verse of the day. So this is what I want you to do. Don't put the Bible down until God speaks to you. Who? Really? Really? Yeah. Do you reckon God wants to hide what he wants to tell you in his word? No, he doesn't. But sometimes he says, Andrew, are you prepared to dig a bit harder? So, it takes about 15 minutes. It's all it is, about 15 minutes to read today's reading in the Bible. But if God didn't speak to me, you know what I do? I just read tomorrow's. How much do you want it? You're sitting here today listening to this big ugly bloke up the front here. Tells me you want something. I know this. God wants you to get that verse. And he will. He will. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to share it. When you get that verse, yes, it's for you, and it's for what it's spoken to you that day. But I'll tell you now, this is why you can't do this in your paper Bible. Cut and paste that sucker and send it. The first people who get it for me is my family. My family chat, if God's speaking to me and gave me a word today, man, I want them to hear it. But many years ago now, I started just sending it to two friends. Didn't tell them I was going to do that, I just started sending it. First couple of weeks, they probably thought I was a weirdo, but you know, they suddenly realized, hey, Andrew actually reads the Bible every day and gets something from it and sends us. I write a little paragraph. So it's a little paragraph at the bottom of what it meant to me. Today I send it to about 60 people across the globe. There's a guy called Marcelio down in Rio de Janeiro. There's another guy actually in the Ukraine, Igor. They have to look at it at Google Translate. But here's what I know. For starters, 60 people, if they don't get a verse from me today, know I didn't read my Bible. So that's keeping me accountable. But all I know is that I wake up in the morning and I get verses sent to me from all over the world. All over the world. And so what it's doing is it's teaching people to have an expectation to hear from God. And it's training your spiritual eyes and ears to do that. And it's an absolute game changer. So here's the cool thing. Excuse me. For what used to be a have to is now a want to. See, I've been doing this now for years. I know God's going to speak to me today. So the first thing in the morning, I can't wait to pick up my Bible. God is going to speak to me today. Would you like to have that in your life? That you know that tomorrow morning, when you wake up and you pick your Bible up, God's going to speak to you. I tell you, it's incredible. Incredible. So my point to you is this. It's just a decision away. Just a decision away. Do you want that? All right, the second question I ask people is this. This one's a real tricky one. Okay, now, typically I'm sitting down with couples, but it also relates to singles, and I'll talk about that in a second. But as couples, do you pray with your spouse every day? Okay, once again, unfortunately, 90% of people I speak to, including the pastors, don't pray with their spouse every day. Now, I'm not talking about grace, okay? That doesn't count. Okay, I'm not talking about grace. And mums and dads, I'm not even talking about praying with your kids at night going to bed. That's great. You should do that. Keep going. I'm talking about husband and wife taking time each day to stop, talk. Ladies are going to always want to talk, and then pray together. Can I tell you, it is a game changer. Now, ladies, can I speak to you for a moment? I believe that you women hear from the Holy Spirit much better than us men. We all know that you can do 5, maybe 7 things all at once. But us blokes, we're real good at doing one thing at a time. One. Don't ask us to do 2, we're in trouble. So for us to hear from God at the same as you, it's a challenge, okay? So it's not going to happen immediately, but it will happen. But when you take the time to talk and pray together, it does change for a man. Not immediately, but it does. Can I challenge you today, okay, from today, just to go for 30 days. Just say, righto, babe, the next 30 days we're going to pray together every day. Don't say you're going to do it forever, you'll fail, okay? That's too hard, okay? Just go for 30 days. And if you slip up, go for the 30 days again. Here's what I know. If you do that for 30 days, in 30 days' time, I guarantee you, both of you, will see a change in your life. I guarantee you that, okay? Here's then what I want you to challenge. When you get to 30, then go for 4 months. 16 weeks, boys. 16 weeks. Now, I don't know why it is, but as I say, I've sat down with thousands of people, some up to 5 or 6 times. I've done my research. Us men, it takes us about 16 weeks to get in sync with our wife. But in about 4 months' time, you're going to have people, neighbours, relatives, work associates say things to you like, Joe, what are you doing? There's something about you, I cannot put my finger on it, something about you that's changed. What is it? And you better say categorically, oh, that's simple. I now pray with my wife every day. Is it that blatant? Yeah. Let me tell you, when you are hearing from God, you're making better choices in raising your kids, making better choices in your marriage, making better choices in your health, and let me tell you, you're making better choices in your finances. And that's just in 4 months' time from today. You literally cannot hide the change. What are you doing? You're becoming a true disciple. You're getting to a point where your spiritual eyes and ears are so in sync with God that you can't take a wrong step. He guides your step every single way, every single thing you do. So you just keep making better choices. And let me tell you, people, you become attractive. People want what you've got. I think it's a responsibility as Christians. We need to live a life that is so attractive. People say, I want what you got. There's a neighbor in my street. This is the absolute truth. Yells across the street, Denton, I want your life. Now, you know, like if I drove an old rust bucket and my lawns are 2 foot long and my kids were smoking dope in the front lawn, and would you want my life? No. So you say, oh, he's just looking at the external. Yeah. We need to live a life that people say, what are you doing different? Did that give me opportunity to speak to that man? Absolutely. He was open. He invited me. We need to live a life that is so different. Can I tell you, after the 4 months, set the goal for 1 year. Men, listen to me clearly. You cannot pray with your wife 365 days straight and have a bad marriage. You cannot. And here's the cool thing. When you've done it every day for a year, that's now who you are. You will never, ever stop. You miss a day, you feel sick. Truly, you feel sick. Make that choice. It really is amazing. And you know the ones who notice it the most? Your kids. Can I just tell you a very quick testimony? I've got 6 minutes, but I'll make it happen. As I say, I've been to lots of churches and I come back to churches. Often I'm like maybe 2 years before I come back to this church. I was at this one church, over in America, not going to say where, but over in America. And I was meeting in the pastor's office and he had a three-seater lounge there and I had my single seat. And this couple walked in and the wife walked in about 3 metres behind him and there's a little black cloud between them. And he sat one end of the lounge, she sat the other end of the lounge. And they did not like each other, I can tell you. It was pretty obvious. They definitely didn't read their Bibles. They definitely didn't pray together. He'd been in the same job for 23 years that he hated. He absolutely hated. And life was horrible. But something I'd said the night before had arrested them to actually come in and make a decision. So I remember writing in my notes about them after, wow, this is hard work, this couple, but be interested to see how God can work. Only 7 months later, which is pretty quick for me to come back, I happened to be at that same church. And typically I look at the list of people who have booked in to come and see me to see where they correspond. And here's this couple's name. And I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be interesting. So this time I'm meeting in a different room and I just had 2 seats for the couple and my seat. And so they walk in hand for starters, and then the 15-year-old son with them. So I'm like, oh, look, I'll just go find another seat. Bang, she's in his lap. Jim, we don't need another seat. She sits in his lap, guys. Trust me, she was all over him. So I remember I just turned to the son and I said, Mum and Dad getting on better? He said, oh, yeah. And the wife chopped up real fast and she said, Andrew, it's been incredible. She says, we haven't missed a day in 7 months of praying together. Everything has changed. Everything has changed in their lives. So, The husband, he said, yep, everything has changed. He said, you know what, Andrew? He says, I quit my job. I said, wow. He goes, yeah. He said, I went into business. I said, yeah, that's amazing. He said, we actually work together. I said, that is really amazing. He said, you know, we didn't get on before. I said, oh, I hadn't picked that up, you know. I said, that's fantastic. I said, but what's the go with the son? He said, I'll get emotional here. He said, 3 weeks ago when they announced that you're coming back, our son said, can I come meet the man who changed our family? Now, we know it wasn't me. So he come. Then he says, can I be a kingdom builder? Can I be a disciple? I said to this couple, the greatest thing you did was not restore your marriage, not change your financial situation, not get healthier. The greatest thing you did was you showed your kids what to do. This is what you have ahead of you here, people. Whether it's your children, your grandchildren, the kids next door, we have that opportunity. We really do. So set that goal. Set that goal. Now all the single people have been sitting in the room and thinking, I'm off the hook. Can I tell you? You're definitely not off the hook. In fact, I believe that you need this even more. This life is too hard to do alone. We weren't meant to do it alone. So if you're a single guy here in the room, can I encourage you? Find another man and start praying. How do you find that guy? You can say, hey, I want to go all in for God and be a disciple. Do you? If they say no, go find someone else. Go find someone else. Yeah. And, you know, we don't have to pray together face to face. We have technology today, don't we? In fact, I give the example, there's two guys I know in Sydney. They worked out that at 7:45 every morning, they're sitting in traffic in Sydney on their way to work. So what do? They call each other. Talk through the issues of the day before, pray. 15, 20 minutes, done. Is it that simple? Yeah, it's actually that simple. Is it a game changer? Game changer. I've met many people over the years who were single, started praying with their single prayer partner, have got married, pray with their wives, but also have never stopped praying with that partner. Why? Because it changed their life. Changed their life. Ladies, same, same. Same, same. Same, same. The point here is I've just given you two very practical items to help to train your spiritual eyes and ears to hear from God, okay? So that you make better choices rather than make disastrous decisions that have lifetime ramifications. But when we obey, okay, when we obey God's direction in our lives, that God's promise is that, as that verse ended, he will be with us even to the end of the world. Can I tell you, your life can look dramatically different in 12 months. My life had a dramatic turnaround when I finally decided to truly put God first, when I finally decided to be a true disciple, when I finally decided to actually trust him. My favourite scripture is Matthew 6, verse 33. As it goes, seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously and he will give you everything you need. Everything you need. I spoke plenty of messages just on this verse. There's so much to it. Do you agree when you have everything you need, okay, everything you need, that's what the verse says, everything you need, it'll be a lot easier to be generous with others. And I'm not just talking about your money. I'm talking about your time and your service. See, that promise is to true disciples. True disciples, okay? It's about the people who have decided to put God above all else. Not just Sundays. Not for the 20 minutes of praise and worship. And decide to live generously. You will have that promise. See, I believe that if pastors just concentrated on building strong disciples in their current congregation as a priority, that have a group of men and women who would serve in church, bring others to Christ, and give generously. Yeah. How do I know that? Because that's what I've experienced around the world and in my own life. That's why I'm here today. That's the only reason why I'm here today. To tell you this is all that I have done. Okay? I got serious about finally being a true disciple of Jesus. Everything else, I mean that, everything else fell into place in my life. I stopped being fearful. Do I still have challenges? Absolutely. Probably more. Probably more. Of course, the devil's trying to constantly knock me off my perch. Can I just warn you, in the next 30 days, the devil's going to throw everything at you and the kitchen sink, okay? He does not want you to pray together. He does not want you to read your Bible. Ladies, here's a quick one. You know, you'll still love him, but those days you don't like him, even those days, pray with him, okay? He needs it. So, all I know is this. You cannot tell me that we don't serve a trustworthy God. We do. I've seen God turn up time and time and time and time and time again. So today, yes, I'm here to raise up kingdom builders. I'm here to finance the kingdom of God unashamedly. But I'm asking you today to make a bold decision to become a true disciple first. Because in the long run, I know that when you mature in your relationship with God, you will automatically be a kingdom builder. Can I just ask everyone if they wouldn't mind just close their eyes and in some prayer, and some reflection. If what I've talked about this morning has resonated with you, and you want to make the changes in your life to be a true disciple, could you raise your hand so I know who I'm praying for? Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. Awesome. Father God, I thank you for the men and women who today have realized they need to take the next step in their walk with you. They need to trust you more. They need to know you more, and they need to obey you more. Father, give them the courage to stay the journey, to not quit when it gets hard. Jesus, give them favor. I mean unmerited favor as they begin to take faith steps in their journey to live a life that is so attractive to others that people can't help but ask them so they can show them the way to you, Jesus. Bless them today, Father. Thank you for this step. Everyone said, Amen. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Andrew. Who is blessed by that word? We're going to finish the meeting in a moment. But with every meeting that we do, we never close this without giving everyone an opportunity to get right with God. You see, to be a disciple, you first must be a son or a daughter of God. And I'm mindful in the room, not everyone may be right with him. And a simple question is, if you were to die tonight, are you saved and are you going to heaven? You know, it's more than just a ticket to heaven in what you're about to do. It's life here on earth that you get to walk with our Father through all the challenges, all the blessings as well, that he doesn't want you to do this life on your own. But the main thing is, are you secure in your eternity? The Bible says God has put eternity in every man's heart, every person's heart. And if you're not sure if you're right with God, with every eyes closed and head bowed right now, if you know you're not right with him, you're not sure if you were to die tonight, where you'll end up, heaven or hell, two places, there's no in between. If you need to get right with God, you know, the Bible says there is a day appointed for every person to die and then stand before God in judgment. He does not desire that anyone should perish. In fact, it is our own decision why we would end up in a place where the devils are meant to be in torment. It is a place called hell. It's not designed for us, friends. But through a willful neglect and a pushing away of the free gift called salvation through his son Jesus, He has made it so easy for us. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In the book of Acts, it says, repent, turn to God, that your sins may be blotted out, no matter how bad you've done, from small to big, and that times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. If you need to get right with God, no one looking right now, quickly slip up your hand. Thank you, sir. Thank you, I see that hand. Thank you, I see that hand. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else in this room? No one looking. Yep, I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. I see that other hand. Thank you. There's a few hands up in the air. Can we just be up on our feet? And this is an important prayer. And if you mean it from your heart, you know, the Bible says, if you believe in your heart that Jesus died and rose again, confess with your mouth that He is Lord, if you are willing to make Him the Lord of your life, you shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell into eternal glory with our Father in heaven and many others before us as well. So let's just repeat these words. Say, thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending your Son Jesus, who lived a perfect, sinless life to be the ultimate sacrifice for man's sins, for all my sins. God, I repent and I turn to you. Wash me clean by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. Enter my heart and be my best friend. Make me brand new. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Can we give it up for those who prayed that prayer?